Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. The world of fast fashion has complicated clothing production by shipping cheap parts around the world to whoever can sew them the cheapest. And now you, the consumer, are paying the price with rising costs. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. Skip the tariff and snag yourself American-made clothing with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
Fantasy Sports Today, kicking off right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Dane Martinez and the King, Scott Engle, with you all hours. We're being breaking down the early lines and leans for week 10. Mike Blewett is out today. He'll be back joining us tomorrow. But on Wednesdays, what we do is we take the full 2 hours and we give you our early leans, our early thoughts on week 10. And Scott, first of all, good morning. I hope everything is doing well. I hope you got out and voted yesterday. But also, listen, Scotty, week 10, teams making their final push. You got about 4 weeks left. So if you're 5-4, if you're 4-5, you need to start moving.
Yeah, if you're 500, you could still make it, but you want to reel off three consecutive wins in a row to feel good. You know, any time you get above five losses in fantasy football, the anxiety is going to increase. A lot of 7-6 teams will make the playoffs, but right. You know, nothing's guaranteed. You want to score as many points as you totally can because total points is very often the tiebreaker.
Yeah, I had a guy call in to my show yesterday, Scott, Fantasy Freestyle, by the way, 7 to 8 p.m. on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I had a guy call in. Check this out. He told me he was 3-6, okay, Scott? But then he told me his team, and it was a bunch of studs, Scott. And he said even at 3-6, he literally said that he had the highest point total in his entire league. At 3-6. And I was like, listen, man, it sucks, but if you got those studs, you know, and you're putting up great totals, then you even at 3-6 have an outside shot. If you run the table to get 4 in a row, it sounds like you would be one of the high scoring 7-6 teams, and you might be able to sneak in. So it really is still about those points. I had another a social media follower ask me something like they were in a tight matchup going into Monday night, and they were worried, like their opponent. Let me ask you about this, actually. Their opponent was done for the day, okay? And they were up by something like between 1 and 2 points. And someone asked me, and they had like someone left to go. And they were worried about like, do they just bench them and take the win? Or worry about like that starter getting negative points? Maybe it was a defense, or maybe they're worried about someone fumbling, something like that. And I was like, no, you got to start your players. Because not only is it you trying to protect that win, there's always stat corrections. You never know until Wednesday or Thursday that could happen. And then the other thing is you need to get as many points as possible for this exact thing. When we come to tiebreakers after week 13, you know, sometimes that could be real tight. You know, you could have like 10 more points than the guy behind you getting you into the playoffs, right, Scott?
Yeah, and when you say, oh, you know, I'm ahead by two, and I'm worried, what if the only thing the guy does is fumble? It's like, unless you're talking
or
about
a defense
Kenyon
could
Barner,
get a minus one or two. A defense
unless you're talking about Kenyon Barner, I think you don't worry about that. Somebody asked me that. Like, I have Amari Cooper or Deion Lewis going. What if Deion Lewis is only carries a fumble? Like, right. You're way overthinking it right now. You play your guys because sometimes, and I think in leagues when they do this, it's cool. One of the spots goes to possibly like the team with the playoff spots goes to the team with the most points because
right.
When you have a team that's scoring the most points in the league and you're 3-6, you're just having bad luck. You're getting outscored exactly. Every week.
Yep, and I even recommended to that guy, and I know you've seen this as well, Scott. There are some league formats where you, in essence, you play a doubleheader, right? Instead of playing one team, you play two teams on any given week, right? So instead of going 1-0 or 0-1, you go 0-2, 1-1, or 2-0. And that sort of mitigates that for this guy's situation, too. If he has really that great points, he wouldn't be 3-6. Instead of kind of getting unlucky or running into the buzzsaw, you know, you probably have a better record if you actually play the doubleheader every week. Have you seen that? Do you like that kind of format, Scott?
Yeah, I haven't played it, but I've seen it.
Yeah. What do you think? Do you think it's a good idea to mitigate some of this, like you're saying? This guy is 3-6 and just unlucky. It takes some of that luck out of it because if you're playing two teams, you know, I've seen weeks, it's happened to me, where I put up like the second or third highest point total in the league, but I just happen to be facing the guy who put up the best.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. You know, it's a little offbeat, but I'm okay with it. But sometimes there's offbeat things that I'm not okay with. Like, for some reason, if you do the ESPN default schedule, four teams make the playoffs, and the first playoff game is week 13 and week 14 and 15, and the second one is 16 and 17. I'm a co-owning with somebody in a league like that, and I'm like, well, what is wrong with the commissioner? It's like,
right?
You don't want 2 week playoff games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe they're thinking
you want to avoid week 17,
but it's so off the beaten path though, and right. You want to avoid week 17, you know, but. I hate leagues that go to week 17. I really do because you look at teams like the Chiefs, the Rams, etc. You know, and if they have something clinched and they got nothing to play for, you lose your best players and the best team doesn't win.
Absolutely, if you're a fantasy football team, right? Like in your example, you know, Pat Mahomes, Todd Gurley, Kareem Hunt, Travis Kelce. You know, Cooper Kupp, these could be guys that have been leading you to your fantasy potential championship, and then what are you going to do week 17 when they're resting, you know? So I understand that exactly. Scott, biggest news and notes that I saw yesterday, looks like the Saints were working out a lot of wide receivers, Brandon Marshall among them, but it looked like Dez Bryant impressed them to the point where the buzz is that they're trying to work out a contract. Do you think Dez ultimately will be wearing golden black? And if so, what kind of opportunity does this present?
Well, I can't predict whether he's going to be wearing the golden black or not. You know, I'm not sitting in the good negotiations. But if he does, I don't expect a lot of upside. I'm not going to spend, like, a lot of fab on him either because the guy's missed all of training camp and you know, 9 weeks. So how much of an impact could a guy that, you know, was on the downside of his career coming off of so much inactivity, which – you know, also speaks possibly to his health and soft tissue injuries. You know, like Frankie Stample said on The Best Friends Forever, maybe they're looking for a big target in the red zone.
Right.
You know, that and, you know, Cameron Meredith has been a disappointment, but to take a flyer, like when you're talking about to do week 10, you know, there's no real upside, I think, for Dez Bryant.
Okay. Would you rather have Dez Bryant or Adam Humphries?
I'd rather have Adam Humphries. I've seen what we could do. You know, not only does Dez Bryant has to learn the offense, etc.
Right.
I think from an NFL perspective, it can make sense. You know, it's like 2-3 times a game. You know, hitting him in key spots, but I can't expect a lot of fantasy production.
All right. Next game I want to talk about, Scott, as we still got a lot of games to get through in this hour. The next game up. The New England Patriots, they go to Tennessee to take on the Titans. 46.5 is the total. We got a home dog situation. The Titans at home are giving 6.5. You know, Scott, with the Patriots, you never know, right? You know, there's been no Sony Michel for the last couple of weeks. Gronk has missed 2 of the last 3 games. So we've been seeing, you know, Edelman. We've been seeing Cordarrelle Patterson as a running back. We've been seeing Josh Gordon with the probable return of both of them, Sony Michel and probably Gronk as well. What, like, how does this change? You know, are you off, say, Josh Gordon? Let's look at Josh Gordon. What's the impact of a return of Sony Michel and even Gronk on a guy like Josh Gordon? Where do you have him ranked? What do you see for Gordon moving forward?
I don't think anything changes. I think he's still a deep 20. Threat. He has his role in that offense. Gronk has been very disappointing, and Sony Michel's not going to take anything away from Josh Gordon. You know, it's not like Josh Gordon carries the ball. So, the only thing I'll say, is for Tom Brady, it's been a little bit of a disappointing fantasy season. If you haven't noticed, he's behind Mitchell Trubisky in terms of fantasy scoring. He's the 12th highest fantasy quarterback, and he's thrown one touchdown pass in his last two games, and he hasn't thrown more than one in three of his last four. So, Gronk really hasn't been a major factor. I don't know that things change a whole lot here.
Okay, no, I guess what I mean, I know Sony Michel isn't really catching passes as it impacts Josh Gordon. I mean more that with the return of Sony Michel, maybe the Patriots as a whole are more comfortable and running the ball a little bit more, and the run-pass balance could be a little bit different. Over the last couple of weeks, they've been using guys like Cordarrelle Patterson, but when they have their normal early down back in, maybe they're, a little bit more balanced than running the ball, so there's less opportunity in the passing game, less attempts for Tom Brady. That's what I mean.
I think maybe if anything, maybe it cuts into James White a little.
Okay.
You've seen him carrying the ball 11, 12, 8 times over the last three games where he, when Michelle was in there was 8, 2, and 6. So if anything, it means that less flat passes.
Yeah, I would also wonder to see, we don't have to look at it right now, I would be interested to see if Brady's attempts have gone up over the last couple of weeks when Michelle is out as well. You have Julian Edelman as wide receiver 14, Josh Gordon as wide receiver 20, so they're both wide receiver 2s for you moving forward.
Yeah, well, Edelman's almost in that wide receiver 1 sort of cusp right now, the way that he's been playing, ever since he came back. He's been terrific. People haven't really said much about it just because that's what you expect from Julian Edelman.
Yep, and on the Tennessee side, talk to me about Deion Lewis. People at first were like, oh, he's not doing it. He's disappointing. You now have him as RB22. I actually think he's absolutely fine. He helped me win a week last week because I had Joe Mixon on bye, so Lewis was my kind of guy that I inserted. But you have Deion Lewis as a back-end RB2. You're comfortable with him in that spot. Tell me how that relates to Derrick Henry, though. We know we've been talking about Henry as a cut candidate. Do you think the gap in snaps and opportunity and production between Deion Lewis and Derrick Henry just continues to grow in Tennessee?
I don't know if it continues to grow, then Derrick Henry might be on the street, but he still has a role, as a goal line finisher. He's scored in two consecutive games, but, Deion Lewis has two consecutive 20-point games in a PPR. The only thing you have to worry about is the consistency, because before that, he failed to score 6 PPR points in 2 consecutive in 3 and 4. So with Deion Lewis, he'd be ranked higher, but I'm worried about the consistency.
Yeah, and then, listen, also with Tennessee, and this is not necessarily a fantasy thing, but I'd love your take on this. I always say, Scott, that there are three kind of teams in the NFL. There's the team that knows they have their quarterback, right? That's option one. There's the team that either, knows they don't have their quarterback or is starting anew with a fresh young face. That's, kind of, I think, the second best place to be. And then the worst is to be a team that, is really unsure about their quarterback and think they may not have their guy. That's what sets franchises back for years, right? We talk about Jameis Winston in that vein, Ryan Tannehill in that vein. People are now whispering about Derek Carr in that vein. Can we put Marcus Mariota in that same kind of category? If you're the Titans, are you riding with this? Is he your guy? When his fifth year option comes up, is Mariota the guy, or should we start to throw Tennessee in the mix of these teams that could have some kind of rotating, door at quarterback over the next couple of years? Do you think Mariota is the guy long term in Tennessee?
I think it's fair to say you can't look at one good game against Dallas after all the string of mediocre performances. He's been very up and down, throughout his career. They don't know that they have the guy, and I think it's dragging the offense down. Corey Davis really hasn't played up to his potential. Deion Lewis is the only Titan that you could really start fantasy-wise. I think it tells you a lot about the team. Marcus Mariota has nowhere near lived up to his potential. There was a lot of promise after the first season, but it's been all enigmatic since then.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Jameis Winston gets so much slack. You know what I mean? Jameis gets so much slack for having some of these younger quarterbacks kind of bypass.
Slack or slack?
Both, to be quite honest.
I don't think he gets a lot of slack. He gets benched.
All right, flack then. But, you know, like, but it's not like Mariota has been lighting the world on fire, but he goes kind of a little bit more under the radar in terms of the flack that he gets. So just keep an eye out on that.
Yeah, because the team is, like, pushed to contend while he's been there, you know, in spite of
him. And there's none of the kind of off-the-field stuff like there is with Jameis.
Yeah, and Jameis Winston, the team has just been bad, you know, since he's been there.
You're right.
You know, they showed some signs his rookie year, but they've been bad since then.
Absolutely. And Tennessee, don't forget, Tennessee got to the playoffs, you know, under Mariota. And Mariota, that like, I think
creates a big difference
well.
In perception, yeah.
Yeah, and he, like, in that one playoff game, like, gutted it out, right? Like, was clutch with a running touchdown or something like that. So, you know, at least he does have that on his resume.
Whereas Jameis does
it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right, then. Next game, though, Scotty, the Miami Dolphins and the Green Bay Packers. I'm telling people, people got to go get some MVS, right? Allison to IR. And MVS has really, and I'm calling him MVS now because it sounds like a disease that people are catching. But do people need to get a little case of MVS?
Yeah, it's only 20% owned right now in ESPN leagues. And he's my number 23 ranked receiver in my in-season ranks this morning on rotoexperts.com. In the last four games, he's either caught a TD pass in two of them, and the other two where he hasn't scored, he's gone 100 yards or over. So, you know, he's definitely a thing here. Randall Cobb, looks like all the injuries have caught up to him. And Geronimo Allison, very disappointing with the injury. You know, we played very well early, and we could see him again in the future. But for now, you had all these Packers rookies, and Valdez Scantling was the one that, you know, soared to the top of the bowl.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Allison, to be quite honest, Scott, Allison was in that category with us early in the season, right? Guys like Godwin and Galladay, guys that we were really excited about potentially seeing a step. And while Allison did have flashes, he is sent to IR, and who knows what's going to happen. I think his contract might be up as well, Geronimo Allison. So definite opportunity. You know, Scott, if you're in a dynasty league, right, there's MVS, obviously, but you mentioned also – you know, Randall Cobb, kind of the injuries catching up to him. I can easily see a universe where next year, and this is a dynasty league play, Scott, where next year, you know, Allison is either still struggling to come back or with another team. I think his contract is up. Cobb, as you mentioned, the injuries have gotten to him. Maybe he's, you know, not long for a starting role. Could it be next year, Scott, that the wide receivers for Green Bay are Davante Adams, you know, MVS, and even then, like, Equanimeous St. Brown? Like, is St. Brown worth a stash in a dynasty format?
I think he is, but at best he becomes the third receiver there, and I don't know how much you can depend on that. Yeah, I don't know how much you can depend on that, but he's worth a stash. It's a risk, but he's worth a stash.
All right, fair enough. Let's look at this Miami side of things. You know, the quarterback situation is kind of in flux there. We know that. Talk to me about the wide receivers. Amendola continues to get targeted by Brock Osweiler. We see Devontae Parker had one game a couple of weeks ago. What is there anything you're looking for in this wide receiver room?
It's really just Amendola, and that's it. You know, Devontae Parker had one good game and then one catch for 8 yards.
Are we expecting Tannehill or Brock this week for Miami?
It's too early to tell.
Too early to tell. All right. It looks like maybe Ryan Tannehill will get back. But that seems like it's a real weird injury, right? The way that that's been going on, like, and especially the way Gaze is talking about it, it almost seems like when it happened originally, they should have just put him on IR. Because it's been almost 6 weeks at this point, right?
Yeah. It's been a while, yeah.
It has been, you know, but in any event. All right, Scotty, we got to take a break. We got to pay the bills here on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. When we come back, though, Scotty, we still got more games to discuss. We got an interesting AFC South matchup between Jacksonville and Indy. We got an interesting NFC North matchup between Detroit and Chicago. We'll talk about them all, and a huge spread that we got to talk about when we come back. Kansas City, Arizona, when we come back.
DailyRoto.com. learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build and optimize lineups for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Welcome back. FST right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Dane Martinez and the King, Scott Angle. Scotty, I got to let people know. And first of all, I want to congratulate the many, many thousands of people who had a profitable daily fantasy season in Major League Baseball this season. Now that baseball is over, people are moving on over and using the NFL Optimizer. Listen, we've already had a $1 million winner. We've had a bunch of $100,000 winners. We told you about Colin Drew going back to back and belly to belly. And people are also crushing it on a nightly basis in the NBA using the NBA Lineup Optimizer in the association. If you're hooked, buy the DailyRoto.com Elite Package. It gives you access to year-round successful tools, projections that our subscribers have been using, okay? If you're not doing it in this way, you are at a competitive disadvantage. So go on over to DailyRoto.com, click on the Go Premium tab, and check out what the Elite Package has to offer. Enter the promo code FNTSY for a special discount. Start winning today. Scotty, I want to talk about this next game. We're in the AFC South. Jacksonville and Indianapolis. The Colts are a three-point favorite at home against Jacksonville. Listen, Jacksonville is sort of like unraveled in the last couple of weeks. You know, the defense and offense are not kind of getting along. You know, Blake Bortles was kind of on that leash. They toyed with the idea of Cody Kessler, then went back to Blake Bortles. It just doesn't sound great. And the Jags are coming off a bye. What kind of Jacksonville team do you expect to see back in action week 10? You know, I mean, like, I think this can go really either way. This could be a team that doesn't handle adversity that well because they're kind of young and, kind of blustery. Or do you think they've been galvanized and are kind of going to come out fighting this week?
I think there's a lot of pressure on them this week because Indianapolis offensively is playing really, really well. I don't know if anybody's noticed, but, like, you know, Andrew Luck has thrown at least three touchdown passes in five consecutive games. And during that streak, he has four touchdown games. Somebody said to me last night, should I trade Mahomes because Andrew Luck is my backup and I'm not confident I can roll with him the rest of the way? I'm like, why? You know, I'm sorry, but, you know, no disrespect. Have you watched the games? Have you at least looked at the numbers? So there's a lot of pressure on the Jacksonville defense, you know, to stop a really good offense this week. And I got to tell you, Indianapolis is really going to give them a game this week.
I agree with you on that. Remember, we've been talking about, you know, we had very different views on the AFC South going into this season, if you remember, right? I was more Indianapolis and Tennessee. You were more Jacksonville and Houston. You gave me some regular season wins. We'll see how that one shakes out. Let me ask you about the Colts, though. I think now, you know, I think there's a conundrum for fantasy owners trying to understand what the Colts' tight end position will be, Scott. I look at your in-season ranks, and you're kind of, you're kind of split in the middle here. You have Jack Doyle and Eric Ebron back-to-back at numbers 9 and 10. What that also means, though, is you have them both as tight end ones. Are you okay? You're okay starting both of them, it looks like.
I think you have to be, especially with the state of tight end in fantasy football. People are asking, you know, on the Roto Expert Slack chat, which one should I have? And you know, you want an answer when one apparently doesn't exist, that one's going to dominate over the other. You know, it could be one week Doyle has a good week and Ebron doesn't, and it could be the reverse. We saw it in the season opener. I was high on Doyle, and it was Ebron who caught the first touchdown. I think, you're trying to think that, okay, maybe Doyle is the PPR guy and Ebron's a touchdown guy, and then Doyle gets in the end zone. But you have to remember, really outside of T.Y. Hilton, they don't have a reliable number two wide receiver, so both of these guys are going to be viable.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, guys,
you're not always going to get what you want in fantasy. People want more touches from Kerryon Johnson. You may not get it. You may want a clear cut, you know, tight end situation. Guess what? You're not going to get it.
Yep. And remember here, guys, the number to call is 844-843-6879. We'll have the phone lines open just in case you want to talk to us about Week 10. Talk to me about Jacksonville, Scotty, and the running back situation, right? We got Carlos Hyde now in the mix. T.J. Yeldon is there. Fournette's going to come back eventually. This is now a mess, Scott. This is a true running back by committee, and you know where any of these guys could be really good for you. How are you playing the Jaguars running backs as we head into the fantasy playoffs?
It's not a mess. It's no. You know, Fournette could be back this week. He was back in practice on Monday, right. And right now the early reports he's going to play this week. If Fournette is back, there is no committee. It's Leonard Fournette, and that's it. And you know, if he gets hurt again, which is always a possibility, then it's a combination of Carlos Hyde and T.J. Yeldon. To me, it's very clear.
Okay, and so if Leonard Fournette is active, then you want no part of T.J. Yeldon or Carlos Hyde?
No, I don't want any part of Carlos Hyde if he's active.
All right, fair enough. Let's go to the phone lines. We got our guy Kenny in Philly on the line. See, Kenny, you put in the tweet, you tweet at me about the calls. I give you the number, I open up the phone lines, and you are here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. What's going on, Kenny?
How you guys
doing? What's up, cowboy?
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
If you talk to George and Dan, I actually predicted that Julio Jones touchdown this week. I just had a
that is true. So. I mean, the law of averages, Kenny, it had to happen eventually, right?
Yeah, I heard you predicted that for like 9 weeks in a row.
That's right.
I finally got it right.
Hey, man, you only got to be right one time, man. Hey, guys, I got
out of nine, that's not too good.
I got a trade question. Somebody's trying to get a Ezekiel Elliott from me for we got Keenan Allen at a running back for the Falcons, Smith, and Jared Cook. Now some complications with this because I just lost AJ Green for a couple of weeks. I have Stephon Diggs on that team too, and I have James White.
My running back. Who would your starting running backs be if you moved on from Zeke? Yeah.
It'd be James. I have James White, Nick Chubb. I got Carlos Hyde, and I'm a Deion Lewis. So you think I can survive without Zeke?
No. I think what's happening here is, you know, is that you're a fish in the pond, and somebody's, you know, waving the bait, and you're going to go for it. You know, right now the talk is buy low on Ezekiel Elliott if you can find a panicky owner. And this guy is viewing you as a panicky owner, and it sounds like, you know, there's a chance that you might take it. You know, Keenan Allen, you talk about reputation, it's one thing. But, you know, Keenan Allen, you know, give you double figures every week. But if you're going to give up Ezekiel Elliott, do you really want a guy who scored one touchdown in the opener and hasn't scored since? You know, the guy has not scored in seven consecutive games. He had a nice game last week, and, you know, he's put up like 33 points. But Keenan Allen's like 12 to 15 PPR points, you know, every week. He's a wide. You're talking about getting a wide receiver too. Ito Smith is like a backup, and who's the third player?
Jared Cook, who I know you love.
Jared Cook, who's incredibly inconsistent and overrated. Hey. 1 week he has 17 points, and the next week he has 4. They're stacking quantity for quality, and there's no way you should take this.
Hey Scotty, I have Greg Olsen already, so I'm already cool. But at the chance of having I'm on a normal week, my three wide receivers, this is a three wide receiver, one flex league. It'll be Diggs, Keenan Allen, AJ Green when he comes back. At the expense of having
that's a nice luxury to have, but you know, you're not getting proper return. You're getting a wide receiver too, you're getting a borderline RB4, and you're getting an overrated tight end back end one for a superstar.
And Cooper Kupp,
I have. Kenny, I agree. Oh, if you have Kupp, that's even more the reason not to take this deal, in my opinion, okay. Kenny. I think you keep your stud in Zeke Elliott, and I understand the A.J. Green thing, but listen, without A.J. Green and without this trade, it sounds like you could roll Diggs and Kupp as two of your three wide receivers, which I understand, you know, Diggs is on bye, but you're okay with that. I'd rather maintain my stud running back and figure out a wide receiver three in another way. I don't think you should cost you Zeke Elliott, and I would love to go into the fantasy playoffs, especially if you're PPR. With you talk about the three wideouts you'd have. I'd love even better going into the fantasy playoffs with Zeke Elliott. I think you mentioned James White and Deion Lewis, and just figure out your wideout three another way, bro. Yeah.
What's happening with these Zeke Elliott owners is they're panicking because he's not scoring 25 to 30 points in a week.
Yeah, but he'll
be
all right.
they're becoming open, you know, to offers like this, which they shouldn't take. You know, Zeke last week, you know, he didn't have a big game, but he still had 15 points. He's catching passes out of the backfield. Running back is a much, much thinner position. Even if Zeke is not going to perform at that top five level, he is still better than a lot of other guys. Like, say, you know, he's still like top eight, top 10. And, you know, for you, wide receivers so deep, you already have a tight end. And then you're talking about like a running back that's like ranked number 30 in my in-season ranks.
Yeah.
I think you're getting over anxious here.
What else you got, Kenny? Nothing.
Pick him up too, Jameson Crowder. I think I'm about to grab him.
Yeah, that could be something.
Who
if
are you
he's healthy.
Cut, though?
Hogan.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm okay with that. I don't know why you had Hogan this long.
Yeah, that's the way to go about it, bro. Don't sacrifice your stud. That's your weekly advantage, Kenny.
I appreciate y'all, man. Thank you.
No problem. We now go to New Jersey. Friend of the show, I believe it is Holly. Dilly Dilly to you, Holly. What's going on? You're on FST.
How you doing?
Hey, what's up, guys? Dilly Dilly. Good morning, guys. Really quick, I'm just going to ramble off my squad. I'm currently tied with like four people in my lead at 5-4, trying to make that push to get in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So I have Drew Brees as my quarterback. Backup is Goff. I have Devontae Adams, Kenny Galladay, Stephon Diggs, Alshon Jeffrey as my wide receivers. I have Nick Chubb, LeSean McCoy, Deion Lewis, Leonard Fournette, and Tevin Coleman. And then my two tight ends are Trey Burton. And I picked up Green Bay defense for this week. And my kicker is Jake Elliott, which I just picked up this week, trying to move some stuff around. So I just wanted to know, like, do you think I have a shot with this squad, or should I, you know, switch some things around as far as, like, maybe dropping McCoy for maybe a Jalen Rashad or somebody else out there on the waivers? Or should I stay put with this squad right here and just plug them in based on the matchups?
Scotty, here's what I think on this one. I'd love to hear your thoughts. I think she's got a pretty decent squad, if you want to know the truth. I think if anything, you know, you talk about that quality over quantity, Scott. The one thing I think Holly could do here is maybe she could be the two on a two-for-one kind of deal to kind of upgrade. You know, she's got Goff as a backup quarterback, and she's starting Breeze every week, right? She's got two decent tight ends. She's got some decent depth, like, at running back. I would consider, Holly, if there's a team maybe that needs a quarterback, that needs some quarterback help, I might try and go something like Goff and one of your bench wideouts or wide receivers or even your second tight end plus Goff and see if you can get an upgrade at, you know, at that position, running back or wide receiver. So like one of your bench running backs and Goff for a running back upgrade, or one of your bench wideouts and Goff for a wide receiver upgrade to a quarterback needy team, because Goff has been good, but you don't need him because Drew Brees is an MVP candidate. What do you think, Scott?
I think it's easier said than done. It's very, very hard to trade a quarterback in any fantasy football league right now. How many teams are in your league, Holly?
It's 10 teams, and they do not want to trade.
Yeah, in a 10-team league,
because there's too many.
Even in a 12-team league, it's difficult to trade a quarterback because you look at the 11, they all have somebody they're comfortable with, and they don't want to do
a top
running back or a top wide
receiver. She's got Doyle and Burton.
It really depends on who else you look at, but I don't think there's going to be a significant...
Because maybe the quarterback isn't that...
There's two things right now. In two 12-team leagues, I've been trying to move a quarterback. It's impossible, because if you have any one of like the top 15 or 16 guys, you're okay. You don't need to. You don't want to give up some from your top running backs and top wide receivers for somewhat of an upgraded quarterback when you're probably good at who you're with, especially in a 10-team league. In tight end, the way the landscape is right now, everybody's dealing with question marks. Unless you have, say, like a O.J. Howard or a George Kittle, there's not much market for a tight end either. I think it's hard to do. I think Holly's got a really solid team all the way up and down. The one thing I would say is there's probably a lot better kickers than Elliott out there.
Okay.
Sure. You know, I do think...
It depends on who's available, though, but some of the names you could look at are like You dropped who?
Harrison Butker.
I would have never done that. You know, yeah, Harrison Butker is like one of, he's the fourth rank most productive kicker in fantasy football right now. When you look how bad Jason Myers has been through the last few weeks, he's like number two overall. There's no way I would cut Harrison Butker for Elliott.
All right, thanks for the call, though. We got to keep it moving. The other thing I would say, though, listen, you do have Burton and Doyle. If there's a tight end needy team out there, that could be a trade piece as well. Scotty, let's go to this next game real quick here. We got the Detroit Lions going to Chicago to take on the Bears. How is this Detroit passing game going to look? You know, we've been speculating, Scott, after the Golden Tate trade, you know, you don't necessarily think the guy they just brought in, Bruce Ellington, is going to matter. Theo Riddick is back healthy. You know, does Kenny Golladay get more opportunity? Do we see our guy, Kerry on My Wayward Son, do a little bit more in the passing game? What do you think is happening here in this Detroit offense, especially in a tough matchup in Chicago against the Bears?
It is what it is right now. You know, Matthew Stafford is... You know, it's just, you know, he's not throwing the ball a lot. He's efficient, but there's just not more fantasy production. He's actually been outscored by Blake Bortles and Case Keenum. You know, no touchdown passes last week. Before that, there were five consecutive games and two touchdown passes, but the yardage just wasn't there, really. You know, he had a good three-game stretch from week two to week four, but he's been mediocre or
under 220 yards passing in three of his last four. 183, yeah, 217, so and 199 game, in three of his last four.
This passing game is what it is right now. You know, it's not going to change. And, you know, Kerryon Johnson's not going to get more catches out of the backfield when Theo Riddick is there. What you see is what you get. You just got to have hope for more out of Kenny Golladay right now.
All right, and on the Chicago side, you know, people all season long have been playing the Jordan Howard, Tariq Cohen game. How's that shaping up for you?
You know, Howard's, like, scored in three consecutive games, but he's just a finisher. The yardage is not there. You know, it's a really, really good matchup for Tariq Cohen this week. The problem with Cohen is he can be boom or bust, you know, depending on game flow or matchups. You got to be careful, but I do like it this week. But Tariq Cohen can drive you a little crazy.
He does, but even though he could drive you a little crazy, you have him in your in-season rank, Scotty, as running back 18, so definitively an RB2, seven spots ahead of Jordan Howard, who you have as RB25, so depending on your league, Jordan Howard is either a back-end RB2 or a strong flex play, correct?
Yeah, you know, Tariq Cohen's, you know, had a fine season overall. He had four consecutive double-figure games. But before that, he was in single figures three games to open the season. And last week, he didn't even score three fantasy points. So that's who Tariq Cohen is. You know, he just drives you absolutely mad. And if, you know, with Jordan Howard, you know, if he's not getting the end zone, you're really not getting much. You know, he's touchdown dependent. And anybody who's touchdown dependent can sometimes can scare you. He's got four touchdowns in his last three games. But when you look at the yardage, you know, he's only top 70 yards once since week one.
Yeah, so we got to keep our eye out on that. Remember, Allen Robinson and Taylor Gabriel also banged up for Chicago, so that's something to watch as we move along this week. Scotty, we're almost home free. We got one more commercial break, and listen, Scott, there are big lines to discuss when we come back.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Welcome back. We are ghetto superstars at times here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Dane Martinez and the King, Scott Engel, taking you on home. Yeah,
I live in the suburbs.
That's all right. I know our guy Corey Parson, the fantasy executive, was campaigning to be voted mayor of Harlem. I'm the mayor of the Stats Overbeat Cypher in Washington Heights, so it's all good. We got a couple of minutes left before we throw it to the fantasy executive.
I don't think either one of you live in a ghetto.
and Gabe Morency and the lovely Michelle Serpico. But before that, we have a call. Glenn from Florida, you're joining the Roto. You're joining the Fantasy Sports Radio Network as we put the fun in functional sports content. What's up, Glenn?
I got a Hey man, how you guys doing?
Good. Thanks,
Thanks. I got a couple of trade questions. Half point PPR league, 12 team. I'm 8-1, leading the league in points, and I got a couple trades. The first is give away Deshaun Watson and Marlon Mack for Zeke. And
who would be your other quarterback if you gave away? Oh, you have Mahomes?
Yeah, I got Mahomes.
Then I do that. Yeah, I absolutely do that, Scott, right?
Yeah, I would absolutely do that too. You know, Mack's been playing really, really well. Yeah. But, you know, it's only a three-game sample size, and really you don't need Watson.
And Deshaun Watson's a frivolous piece for you. Yeah.
Yeah, Deshaun Watson's not even a top 12 fantasy quarterback for me right now.
You're starting Mahomes every week.
But he's not. Yeah.
It's going
the only thing you think about is week 12. You know, you're going to have somebody else to plug in for an important
game. But if he's 8-1 already, it don't matter. If he's 8-1 already, he could take an L in week 12 and still be primed for the playoffs and get Zeke out of the deal.
Yeah, what's up, man? I was gonna have an open roster spot, so I was gonna pick up Mullins just to throw him in week 12.
Fine, he's playing Tampa week 12, I think. Fine,
yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So I mean, it's all good, bro.
I would see who else is out there too, though, because we don't know what if Mullins could like you know crawl back right into a hole this week. So I don't think we can assume he'd be.
But on balance, what you're doing because you're gonna start Patty Mahomes. For
the
playoffs.
But I like
you're
the 8-1. Trade.
If you're 8-1, you're looking for the playoffs and to upgrade from Mac to Zeke. Yeah, do it. Pull the trigger.
The other, if you got another quick second, the other trade is very intriguing as well. And it would be it's a little bit more people involved, but it's Watson, Larry Fitz, Manny Sanders, and Mac in return for DeAndre Hopkins, Dalvin Cook, and Lat Murray.
That is interesting. You get the big upgrade at receiver to D Hop. And then you get Minnesota.
What do your receivers look like now, though?
Yeah.
What do your receivers look like now?
It's the same league. So my lineup now is Mahomes, Mel Gordon, Tyreek Hill, Mike Thomas, and Manny Sanders and Kittle.
Yeah, so I would do the first trade. It's nice to get Hopkins, but you don't need him.
Right.
I agree with him.
Basically, it's like throwing in Zeke over Mac, and I'm not even using Watson anyway.
Exactly. It's a frivolous piece for you outside of week 12, but you could just get that 1 week guy off the waiver if it's Nick Mullins or anybody else. And at 8-1, you know, you can absorb a loss and get organize yourself for the playoffs. Thanks for the call, Glenn. That's the way we both think.
You can't even assume a loss, you know.
All right.
Maybe he picks up Case Keenum and he has a good week, you know?
Yeah. So let's keep it moving here. The next game, though, that we want to talk about, absolutely, Glenn, call back anytime. Scotty, we only got a couple of minutes here left. Scott, the Kansas City Chiefs are 17-point favorites this week. Okay? They're given 17 at home against Arizona. Now, I know Arizona is a dumpster fire right now, but 17 points is a huge line in the NFL, Scott. You laying 17 with the Chiefs?
Yeah. A big game for Kareem Hunt against the 31st-ranked run defense in the NFL. And, you know, Kansas City's defense plays better at home. So, you know what? I'm going to take the 17.
All right. On the other side, Arizona, because, I mean, we know about Kansas City already for fantasy purposes. Arizona, talk to me about Larry Fitzgerald and Christian Kirk. We mentioned both of those guys kind of in waivers because the Cardinals had a bye last week. Fitzgerald's only owned in something like 75% of leagues, so go check that out. Christian Kirk in around 40. How do you play these Arizona wide receivers in what could have to be a shootout? I don't know if, you know, Josh Rosen is equipped to shoot out with the Chiefs, but you got to figure there's going to be some garbage time there if you like the 17-point spread. Kirk, Fitzgerald, you like them this week?
Yeah, I think you do. You know, Fitzgerald's coming off of a very good game, you know, right before the bye, and, you know, you've seen Christian Kirk pretty much score consistently in double figures. Larry Fitzgerald's come out of the dark the last two games, 14 and 26 PPR points. And then you take a look at Christian Kirk, as bad as Rosen has been, you know, he has double-figure performances in three of his last four games. So they're both good wide receiver three starts.
Is Christian Kirk one of the best rookie wide receivers in Dynasty? Because it's set up, you know, Larry Fitzgerald's going to move on eventually. He's growing with Josh Rosen. Like, you know, I mean, there's Ridley out there, I know, but there's some other wide receivers that were highly touted coming into the season. Anthony Miller, Michael Gallup, for example. I'd rather have Kirk than both of them.
Yeah, I could see that, because especially when a guy is more impressive during his first year, it gives you more confidence about him going forward. Of course, you know, we could go all the way to back to Eddie Kennison and, you know, see guys that, you know, really like busted out in their first year, didn't do nothing in the rest of their career. So you never know for sure, but right now I think you definitely like Kirk better. And I don't think we thought we'd be talking about Marquez Valdes-Scantling in this mix, but hey, here he is.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't forget Cortland Sutton potentially emerging as well. Scotty, you're going to lay 17 with the Chiefs. I'm going to lay 10 for the Chargers on the road against Oakland. You know, Oakland is completely, you know, not trying. There's tension in there with the veterans and what Gruden is doing. And as you know, Scott, I believe the Chargers are about to make their run. Okay, they are giving 10 points on the road in Oakland. They're on a win streak. They may even get Joey Bosa back. You laying 10 on the road with the Chargers?
Yeah, I am. You know, you figure maybe the Raiders might pray with pride once of these weeks. And if they do it this week, you know, it could be 10-3 at halftime, but then they get steamrolled in the second half.
Yeah, I think that could be the thing as well. Maybe they keep it close, you know, for
they're
a little bit.
They're just not anywhere close talent-wise.
Right. I agree. What's the word on Bosa, Scotty? Could we expect him back anytime soon?
It's too early to tell.
It's too early to tell. Because it does look like we're starting to get positive reports, right? And so, you know, that could be a huge impact, though, to that defense. And speaking of the Chargers' defense,
I don't think they need him this week. You know, they played really well in Seattle last week without him.
Fair. And check this out. Like you said, they played well in Seattle last week. Check out their next three games, Scott, at Oakland, home for Denver, and then home for Arizona. If you need a defense, I submit the Chargers. Got three good matchups coming up back-to-back, and eventually we'll get Joey Bosa added to this mix. You talk about sacks and turnovers. You put Bosa and Ingram up against Oakland, Denver, and Arizona. I like that for the rest of the regular season. Go get the Chargers defense, huh?
Yeah, that's a great point, because there are no set-it-and-forget-it defenses right now, but you could set and forget the Chargers for the next 3 weeks.
You have them as your fifth-ranked defense, Scotty, moving forward. To your point, you know I've been streaming two defenses back-to-back and getting ahead of it. I have officially stopped that. I have the Chargers now, and I'm going to start them for the rest of the regular season. All I need to do is figure out, you know, who's got a great matchup week 15. You know what I mean, Scotty? On the Chargers, listen, we were talking about Keenan Allen having a good game. What about Tyrell Williams? Mike Williams, we talked about this a little bit yesterday. Tyrell Williams, I just found out also, is going to be a free agent at the end of the year, Scotty. So maybe he's making himself money with a strong season.
I don't know if it's sustainable, though, because, you know, you look at the volume and it just isn't there. And it's not something you can count on. Maybe you start him in a bye week. He's got four touchdowns in the last three games, two 100-yard games. But that's all on nine catches. He's averaging three catches a game. So it's not sustainable. We expect more out of Mike Williams. He scored two consecutive games, but it's been on one catch each. He has one catch each in three consecutive games in four of the last five. So both these guys are super risks. But you like him this week, I think.
Yeah, but and to my other point, though, does this make sense to you, Scott? I hear you with guys that are super risks, right? I'd rather take a risk on the Chargers than take a risk on Washington, though, right? Like, give me, like, you know what I mean? Like, give me these Williams guys over, say, the risk of, like, a Maurice Harris. You know what I mean? Like, give me pieces of these productive pies. The Chargers are one of these offenses.
If Melvin Gordon, it's always a risk. If Melvin Gordon dominates the game, look at T.Y. Hilton in Oakland 2 weeks ago. He caught one pass.
Yeah, I guess. And there is a universe, where the Chargers are up 24-6 at halftime, right?
Yeah, but how did they get there? You know, it could be mainly from Melvin
that
Gordon.
That one big play to Williams, that 70-yard touchdown to Williams could be the way they got there.
Or it could be a defensive touchdown. It's hard to predict execution.
Listen, I'll take that because, as you know, I'm riding with the Chargers.
But I'll take the chance. Season. You know, they're both wide receivers four, and you're talking about using them for a bye week.
Right.
So, of course, there's going to be risk.
All right, Scotty, another big line. The Los Angeles Rams are double-digit favorites, 10-point favorites at home against the Seattle Seahawks. The Rams now, you know, for the first time all season, are coming off a loss. I know the Rams and the Seahawks have always, you know, it's something of a rivalry. You think the Rams make a statement at home and say, hey, what's all this Saints talk? Don't forget about us.
I think they win the game, but I don't think they cover.
Okay, so you like Seattle plus 10.
Seattle may be 4-5 after this, but, you know, they're certainly a very respectable opponent.
Can they keep up with the Rams offensively, though?
They did when they played in Seattle, you know, and it's more about, we talk about pace. With their running game, they're going to try to slow things down, and it's all about Russell Wilson bouncing back from a bad game and making better decisions, more accuracy. But it's also about the wide receivers getting open, which they did last week. I think it's an easier matchup for them this week. Divisional game. I can't see the Rams beating them by 10, by 7, 6, maybe by 10. No, it's, you know, they're not you know, the distinction between the two teams is not that great when you're talking about a divisional matchup, throwing that into.
Okay, so you say you maybe anticipate the Seahawks try to, you know, they are running the ball more than almost any team in the league, right, with their run-pass split. So that being said, if that might be the approach, right, and that makes sense to keep Goff and the greatest show on surf off the field. Scott, that being said, are you taking the under? The total is 51.
Am I taking the under? No. I'm definitely taking the over on this game.
Interesting.
You know, I think Russell Wilson could have another three touchdown game here.
Okay. So you take the over. So you think a higher scoring game, because I thought you were thinking that the Seattle approach would be to grind it a little bit. But it sounds like you think
it would be. But when they're playing their game, they grind it out. But then Wilson picks his spots and, you know, can make a big play. You know,
so you're saying something like 31-24?
For him, it's more about efficiency. Efficiency.
You're saying more like 31-24?
You know, something like that. Like 30-24 or something like that. You know, I could see the game being that. Like, the Rams are clearly the better team. But, you know, Seattle's not going to come in and lay down either.
All right, Scotty, we only got 30 seconds left. I want one word out of you. The Philadelphia Eagles are at home and 6.5-point favorites this Sunday Night Football against the Dallas Cowboys. One word, Scotty. Eagles or Cowboys? Eagles minus 6.
Eagles to win, Cowboys to cover.
That was more than one word, but I understand. I'll talk to you tomorrow, Scotty. Have a great day. We'll start looking more, you know, waivers, injuries. Thursday Night Football, the preview. You have a great day, all right, there, Scotty?
You too.
All right, Carter and friends up next right here on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. See you tomorrow, guys.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait, and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.